Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, September the 7th. Our top story today is that three people have been arrested following a crash which killed two cyclists near Gravesend. A man in his 60s and a woman in her 50s died in the collision with a white Ford Focus in Seoul Street yesterday morning. Another cyclist suffered minor injuries. Two men in their 20s and a 19-year-old woman are being questioned. Meantime, figures seen today by Kent Online show a rise in the number of deaths and serious injuries on Kent's roads. 73 have been recorded in the year to June. That's an increase of 58% compared to the previous 12 months. Well, Chloe Brewster from our colleagues at KMTV has spoken to Kent's Police and Crime Commissioner Matthew Scott about the figures.
We have been fortunate that there has been something of a steadying of our numbers, but tragically there has been an increase. That has taken place in the last 12 months. And every single one of those cases is a tragedy. I've worked with families who have lost loved ones through death on the roads to make sure that they get the support that they need. We commission support services for people who are affected by road deaths and make sure that they get the support that they need. What we will be doing is I chair an organisation called the Safer Roads in Kent Partnership, and we're going to be discussing that at our next meeting later this year. There are a number of different factors involved in all of these things, but to put one reason behind all of it, it wouldn't be right to do so. So we'll work through the data. We'll work with Kent Police to understand the causes and see what we can all do together, policing, local councils, the highways agencies, to try and make our roads safer.
Now, I'm sure you're aware of the horrible incident up north where those two police officers lost their lives kind of while they were pursuing some dangerous drivers. One part of that case, I know you can't comment specifically, but one part of that case was about their use of social media of kind of glorifying dangerous driving. Is this something that Kent Police are doing anything to tackle? Is this something that they've seen?
This is something which I have raised with the Chief Constable, and of course I pay tribute to those officers who lost their lives in that tragedy. The police officers do difficult and dangerous things on our behalf every single day, and this is a tragic reminder of what unfortunately does happen, sometimes tragically, and we must never forget them, and we must learn from what has happened. In these circumstances, as I say, I have raised this with the Chief Constable. He's currently looking at social media and the trends surrounding it. It is unfortunately something we are seeing more widely with crime generally, social media trends who are driving different types of crime. We've seen it with dangerous driving. We've seen it with other issues as well, such as catapult crime at social media, the sharing of deep fakes and sexualized imagery. That's why I brought a paper to the Performance and Delivery Board today around online safety, was to understand from the Chief Constable what resources are being put in place to tackle these issues and how they are being dealt with. What we also need is government to take a really firm stance with the social media companies. The previous government was very slow to react to issues with regards to social media. My hope is that the new Prime Minister will be a bit more on the front foot and challenge TikTok and Instagram and all of the other organisations who are allowing this content to be published on their platforms.
Some crime news in brief now, and a man who stabbed another man in Canterbury in a revenge attack has been jailed. A court's been told Ashley Atkins armed himself with scissors before confronting his victim in the city in February, leaving him with life-threatening injuries. The 38-year-old, who doesn't have a permanent address, has been locked up for more than 5 years. A man who used a fake banking app to convince an Ashford woman to hand over a £450 iPhone she was selling on Facebook Marketplace has been ordered to pay compensation. Thomas McDonough turned up at the victim's home and made it look like he'd transferred the cash to her account. The 24-year-old from Deeside in Wales is already serving time for conning others out of more than £30,000.
Kent Online News.
Now, ministers have condemned hundreds of masked protesters who blocked access to the port of Dover for several hours on Saturday. Demonstrators dressed in black were heard shouting "Stop the boats" as they held up traffic. The government says their behaviour and the disruption they caused is unacceptable. Emma Reynolds is Chief Secretary to the Treasury. She's been speaking to Sky News.
As a politician, I absolutely support the right to peaceful protest, but this has crossed the line. This is thuggish and intimidating behaviour. And can I just put on record the government's thanks to the police and other emergency services for bringing this situation under control. It has now been sorted out, but we don't want to see this kind of thing happening on the streets.
Officers have described it as a spontaneous demonstration and say no arrests have been made. But Dover MP Mike Tapp says he'll be asking if any intelligence was missed. Gravesham Council's admitted underpaying £320,000 in VAT after a review found errors in how much tax was applied to panto ticket sales and booking fees. It relates to arrangements at the Woodville Theatre, which is owned by the local authority. They've notified HMRC, which could issue a penalty charge. Transport bosses have warned an 1,800 home estate planned for Kent would leave residents too dependent on their cars. Developers want to build Winterbourne Fields off the A2 near Faversham, but new documents show highways officials at Kent County Council are still opposed to the idea, saying future residents wouldn't be able to walk or cycle to nearby towns. And major roadworks are due to get underway in Paddock Wood today. It'll see the junction of Badsall Road and Maidstone Road upgraded to cope with three nearby housing developments. We're told work will continue until spring next year and will be paid for through funding from developers.
Kent Online reports.
Now, next on today's podcast, the new boss of South East Water is due to answer questions later at a public meeting in a Kent village that's been affected by outages over the summer. Residents in Benenden suffered days of disruption during one of the heat waves in August. They hit the headlines by spelling out "Help us" on a village green using plastic bottles from emergency handouts. Lucy Barham-Reed is landlady of the Bull at Benenden and has helped to organise tonight's meeting. She's been speaking to Lucy.
It's pretty historic, really, for a little village like us to have made such a noise that the CEO of South East Water, along with some of his top team, will be present to speak to us, to tell us what their plan is going forward. We all know what's happened in the past, but what we want to know is that our taps will run 100% water 100% of the time.
How does it feel to have sort of had that impact in that sort of people power of getting the bosses to come and sort of to be able to hold them to account?
Well, it's tremendous. I mean, Benenden has always been very community based, and there are a lot of people, but there are a lot of people that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily see every day that have come out to help, because it's a united problem. And we know it's not just Benenden. We obviously have to talk about Benenden. It's, you know, huge parts of the southeast are struggling. And it's time for change. It's got to stop. We can't carry on not knowing if you're going to go to the tap every morning and if there's going to be water in it. So, yeah, so it's been a great camaraderie and community.
What sort of questions are you planning to ask at this meeting, and what kind of a grilling do you think they're going to get?
Well, we don't want it to be a bun fight. We don't want everybody shouting and jumping up and down, because that doesn't achieve anything. Part of the action group have already put questions to South East Water, and they are already starting an action plan. There were 4 points that we wanted made. One of them was to give us just a 6-minute video, which just shows how the water comes from the sky, if you like, into our taps, and to make it clear, because it's very difficult to understand, you know, they're talking about reservoirs and they're talking about storage tanks and about, you know, treated water and untreated water. And, you know, it's really difficult to understand how the water comes from those through the pipes into our houses. So South East Water have been really good, and they've given us a clear and concise video of how that works, which we'll be showing at the meeting again. They have promised to up their communications. This has been a massive problem for everyone. Anyone that's not had water and trying to hang on the line, trying to speak to South East Water. Up until we got involved, the only process was that every single person had to contact them. and then they would make a register of who was missing water, and then they'd see what they could do. But they didn't really have any idea who had lost water and who still had water. They haven't got a sort of mapping system. So what we've pushed for is a much better communications for us, for the public. And the head of communications at South East Water is working on that now, and they're already starting up with new email addresses and a dedicated phone line. So that's another thing. The other thing that we've pushed for is for them to give us an absolute definite in the next 3 months how they are starting the work to fix the decades old infrastructure. And they have started to do that, and they will bring their findings from that question on the 7th. And then the other question we've asked them is over a long term period up to 2030, what is it they are going to be doing, where the finance is going to be coming from, and that they are definitely committed to making sure that we don't have these outages again. So it's been pretty productive. We've got some really, clever people on this team.
A new uni group created following a merger between Kent and Greenwich is officially launching today. London and South East University Group has four campuses in Medway, Greenwich and Canterbury with 50,000 students. Light sculptures will be lit up for the first time to mark the launch. Traders in Ashford are again calling for a footpath to be built, linking a new car park to the town centre. The car park, which is due to open in November, will be based on the site of the former Parkmell shopping centre that's been demolished. Plans for a pedestrian route have been put forward, but have been recommended for refusal, which businesses say could impact footfall in the high street. A pilot scheme is going to be launched in Maidstone, allowing unmanned cake sheds to keep running. There were concerns at the start of the summer that the small businesses would have to close if they didn't have a street trading licence. Well, the council's now voted in favour of a new £75 a year application fee for bakers to register their company. And if you follow Kent Online News on socials today, or indeed head to the website, you can see pictures of a gold cross unearthed in a field on Sheppey by a metal detectorist. The discovery was made at the end of August, but the location of the field is being kept a secret. The cross is engraved on both sides and has what appears to be a pearl on the bottom. It's been reported to experts, who'll see if it's treasure.
Kent Online Sport.
Football and Gillingham have got their first win of the season. They beat Rochdale 4-1 away from home on Saturday. Manager Gareth Ainsworth has been speaking to our sports reporter Luke Cordell.
You had the three draws, but now you've got the big win. This is almost like liftoff, is it?
Yeah, listen, I said before the game, what I'm pleased with this season is I can feel it, and I'm hoping other people can feel it. We haven't gone off like a train, right? And it sounds weird me saying this, but sometimes that train can be a real sort of false train, a superficial train, and you become a target for the teams. People want to knock you down, and when you're not quite good enough, they'll up their game and they'll do you. I think we've had a real structured, steady start to the season, building with youngsters in. And I'm not going to say anything at the moment. I'm just really pleased we've come away and we've beat Rochdale, who were in the National League last year and did fantastically well. But I think the step up for them is a big one, and I think that they're going to be hampered with budgets, they're going to be hampered with losing players, because they've done so well last year. And then, they had a really good result against Shrewsbury midweek, really good result. And I think we've got to look at them and go, they're going to turn teams over, especially here at Spotland. I've been here many a time and they're a good side. But we've come here and I said to the boys, look, we want to come here, impose our game, our physicalities, I've been lucky enough to sign players from higher leagues and say, right, let's show what you are, And I think Rochdale are still getting it together, losing their manager and a new manager coming in, and they're still sort of in a transitional period. And we've got to step on teams like that when they're not quite sure. And that was what we did today. But listen, they were dangerous. They could have scored two or three goals today. And I think that their manager has every right to say that could have been 4-3, because there's a potential penalty. They had one off the line there, double save by Ollie Wright. But again, we had some good chances to put the game to bed in a serious manner. So pleased, but Rochdale, I think, will be a battling team in this league and turn teams over.
you're being tested as a manager as well. What were your thoughts after 15 minutes when your new signing goes off with a hamstring and you strike off with an ankle injury?
Yeah, I think we've got to... I don't know. I honestly don't know what's going on here sometimes. The look that I keep talking about is going severely against us. I'm just hoping we get some luck sometime. It evens itself out because I can't keep losing players like this. It's really hard to see, you know. And I feel for the boys. I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I'll put another team out and I'll get on with it. I feel for the boys. Injuries are the worst thing you can have in football. Hopefully we'll get him back soon.
James Brophy scored two of the goals for the Jills on Saturday. He's also been speaking to Luke.
Been a lot of miles for those fans, hasn't it? What a treat for them. They got rewarded today.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've already had a few away games, already long distances in them. And we haven't rewarded them with a win so far. So I think today hopefully is a nice feeling for some of them that hopefully have done a few of the other ones already this season, that they feel like their hard work and long journey's been paid off. So, it's fully appreciated from all of us.
It's not often you get compared to John Barnes, is it?
No, I don't think I've ever been compared to John Barnes. I'll take it. I think I'll take the compliment. He should be offended because I think his level of opposition was probably a lot harder.
That was a pretty good goal, though. I mean, who was the sort of first person you're going to call and say, guess what I did today?
Probably my little ones. My son plays football. I'll be taking him tomorrow morning to his football. And he asked me every week how many goals I score. It's an easier thing than it is because he scores a few goals in his training session on a Sunday. I'll be really happy to call him today and say that I actually scored a couple.
He might be trying to replicate it when he sees the replay, might he?
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Has he got that in the locker as well?
He's a righty, though. I'm a lefty, he's a righty. So, fingers crossed tomorrow he can do the same thing.
Staying with football, and Ebbsfleet United have finally got their season underway. They were unable to play their first six matches after being suspended by the National League. That suspension's now been lifted and they beat Walton and Hersham 2-0 away from home. And in cricket, Kent have won their latest game in the County Championship. They beat Worcestershire by 84 runs at Canterbury. Head coach Adam Holyoake has praised the character of his side. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.